He thought he might scream, as he had once heard a woman scream right here when she thought her child was drowning in the pool. Billy Halleck remembered how they had seen the gypsies for the first time, the day they had come to Fairview. They had parked along one side of the Fairview Town Common, and a flock of their kids had run out onto the greensward to play. The gypsy woman stood gossiping and watching them. They were brightly dressed, but not in the peasant garb an older person might have associated with the Hollywood version of gypsies in the 30s and 40s. There were women in colorful sundresses, women in calf-length clam-digger pants, younger women in Jordache or Calvin Klein jeans. They looked bright, alive, somehow dangerous. A young man jumped out of a VW microbus and began to juggle oversized bowling pins. "Everyone needs something to believe in," the young man's T-shirt read, "and right now I believe I'll have another beer." Fairview children ran toward him as if drawn by a magnet, yelling excitedly. Muscles rippled under the young man's shirt, and a giant crucifix bounded up and down on his chest. Fairview mothers gathered some of the kids up and bore them away. Other mothers were not as fast. Older town children approached the gypsy children, who stopped their play to watch them come. "Townies," their dark eyes said. "We see towny children everywhere the roads go. We know your eyes and your haircuts. We know how the braces on your teeth will flash in the sun. We don't know where we'll be tomorrow, but we know where you will be. Don't these same places and these same faces bore you? We think they do. We think that's why you always come to hate us." Billy, Heidi, and Linda Halleck had been there that day, 2 days before Halleck would strike and kill the old gypsy woman less than a quarter of a mile from here. They had been having a picnic lunch and waiting for the first band concert of the spring to begin. Most of the others abroad on the common that day had been there for the same reason, a fact the gypsies undoubtedly knew. Linda had gotten up, brushing at the seat of her Levi's as if in a dream, and started toward the young man juggling the bowling pins. "Linda, stay here," Heidi said sharply. Her hand had gone to the collar of her sweater, and she was fiddling there, as it often did when she was upset. Halleck didn't think she was even aware of it. "Why, Mom? It's a carnival. At least, I think it is." "They're gypsies," Heidi said. "Keep your distance. They're all crooks." Linda looked at her mother, then at her dad. Billy shrugged. She stood there looking as unaware of her wistful expression, Billy thought, as Heidi was of her hand at her collar, fiddling it uneasily up against her throat, and then back down again. The young man tossed his bowling pins back into the open side door of the microbus one by one, and a smiling, dark-haired girl, whose beauty was almost ethereal, tossed him 5 Indian clubs, one after another. The young man now began to juggle these, grinning, sometimes tossing one up under his arm and yelling, "Hoy!" each time he did it. An elderly man wearing Oshkosh bib overalls and a checkered shirt began handing out flyers. The lovely young woman who had caught the bowling pins and tossed out the Indian clubs now jumped lightly down from the van's doorway with an easel. She set it up, and Halleck thought, "She's going to exhibit bad seascapes and perhaps some pictures of President Kennedy." But instead of a painting, she propped a bullseye target on the easel. Someone from inside the van tossed her a slingshot. "Gina!" the boy juggling the Indian clubs yelled. He grinned broadly, revealing the absence of several front teeth. Linda sat down abruptly. Her concept of masculine beauty had been formed by a lifetime of network TV, and the young man's handsomeness had been spoiled for her. Heidi stopped fiddling with the collar of her cardigan. The girl flipped the slingshot to the boy. He dropped one of the clubs and began to juggle the slingshot in its place. Halleck remembered thinking, That must be almost impossible. The boy did it two or three times, then flipped the slingshot back to her and somehow managed to pick up the club he had dropped while keeping the others in the air. There was scattered applause. Some of the locals were smiling. Billy himself was. But most of them looked wary. The girl stepped away from the target on the easel, produced some ball bearings from her breast pocket, and shot three quick bullseyes. Plop, plop, plop. Soon she was surrounded by boys and a few girls, clamoring for a turn. She lined them up, organizing them as quickly and efficiently as a nursery school teacher prepares pupils for the 10:15 bathroom break. Two teenage gypsy boys of approximately Linda's age popped out of an old LTD station wagon and began to scruff the spent ammunition out of the grass. They were alike as two peas in a pod, obviously identical twins. One wore a gold hoop in his left ear. His brother wore the mate in his right. Is that how their mother tells them apart? Billy thought. No one was selling anything. Quite carefully, quite obviously, no one was selling anything. There was no Madame Mazonka telling the tarot. Nevertheless, a Fairview police car arrived soon enough, and two cops stepped out. One was Hopley, the chief of police, a roughly handsome man of about 40. Some of the action stopped, and more mothers took the opportunity the lull afforded to recapture their fascinated children and bear them away. Some of the older ones protested, and Halleck observed that some of the younger ones were in tears. Hopley began discussing the facts of life with the gypsy who had been doing the juggling act. His Indian clubs, painted in jaunty red and blue stripes, were now scattered around his feet, and the older gypsy in the Oshkosh bibles. Oshkosh said something. Hopley shook his head. Then the juggler said something and began to gesticulate. As the juggler spoke, he moved closer to the patrolman who had accompanied Hopley. Now the tableau began to remind Halleck of something, and after a moment it came. It was like watching baseball players argue with the umps over a close call in a game. Oshkosh put a hand on juggler's arm, pulling him back a step or two, and that enhanced the impression. The manager trying to keep the young hothead from getting the boot. The young man said something more. Hopley shook his head again. The young man began to shout, but the wind was wrong, and Billy got only sounds, no words. "What's happening, Mom?" Linda asked, frankly fascinated. "Nothing, dear," Heidi said. Suddenly she was busy wrapping things. "Are you done eating?" "Yes, please. Daddy, what's going on?" For a moment, it was on the tip of his tongue to say, "You're watching a classic scene."